Want access to search and listen to the entire webmasterradio.fm archive of over 1,500 podcasts commercial-free? Just become a webmasterradio.fm elite member for less than 99 cents a day. Otherwise, the last 60 days of content are on the house. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Are your domains working hard enough for you? Now, park your portfolio at RevenueDirect.com to maximize your earnings on traffic. With RevenueDirect's proven domain monetization service, you'll experience better payouts, more options, and smart optimization. Sign up free now at RevenueDirect.com. It's that easy. RevenueDirect. Make more money. Period.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're here with Mandy, of course, and we've got a fabulous guest on the show today, the founder of FreeCycle.org and the FreeCycle Network, Darren Beal. So it'd be exciting to talk with Darren and learn about his massive membership base now, which is now 6.3 million people in 85 countries. So, wow, that's going to be really neat. But in the meantime, Mandy, how are you?
Hey, Byron, what's the news of the day?
Oh, you know, just back from a ski trip with Colby out in my son out in Vail. That was good fun. But here's a funny story for you.
What was the temperature out there? I hear that you guys were down in the negatives.
You know, actually, it was beautiful, sunny, warm, 38 degrees during the day, hovering around 32, 38. And in that altitude with that dark blue Colorado sky, just absolutely great 4 days of beautiful weather. It was awesome.
That's so nice. That's nicer than it was here in Boston.
I was looking at my my iPhone and thumbing through all the temperatures. You know, whenever I am in a dreamy mood, I'll flip through my iPhone. I've plugged in like Vegas temperature, you know, in LA and Boston, of course, and Cape Cod and Orono, Maine, and all my other connection points, just so I can experience what the weather's like there, at least mentally. And man, you had some cold weather around here, huh?
I wouldn't know. I wasn't around. Do you know where I was?
Oh, were you doing like some planning?
I don't think you even know where I was, because I think you left before I left. And I was back before you came back.
Fill me in.
I've been in L.A.
Wow.
It was 85 degrees. I was sweating. It was awesome.
What brought you to L.A., pray tell?
I have a couple friends out there. I haven't been out in a while. You know, it doesn't hurt to balance yourself out to go visit the other coast once in a while. So, you know, it was nice. It was a quick weekend trip, in and out. Hurricane Mandy came through. It was great. Caught up with a lot of friends, and now I'm back, and I'm freezing.
That's great. My wife will be very jealous when she hears you and or anybody has visited L.A. She's just an L.A. fanatic.
It's a fun town.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I really do not know why we live in Boston. Somebody will explain that to me later in my career when perhaps
Let's just relocate the office, Boston. You know, we've been talking about this for a while. Let's just get someplace warmer, Byron.
We've had some serious discussions about moving the office. Well, our lease is up in this particular gorgeous space. It will be tough to leave this space we're in. This is a killer office right in the heart of Boston, and beautiful high ceilings, brick ceilings and hardwood floors and loft-like space right in the thick of it. And by the way, if there are any listeners out there that are visiting Boston anytime, please stop by our Life Tips and Idea Launch offices and visit with us. But what is your, just as a preamble, we're going to take a break here in a second, but have you ever used the FreeCycle.org site to give stuff away to the cyber curb, as they say?
You know, I haven't. I am fully aware of FreeCycle. I've used you know, everybody's used eBay, everybody's used Craigslist. This is the next generation, and it's even better because it's free. So this is FreeCycle was created by Darren Beal, who we're going to be talking to today. And it's just a way for people, you know, say you have something that's perfectly good. You have a perfectly good bicycle. You don't need to throw it out. You don't really want to sell it. You can give it to someone else who lives locally who could get great use out of it. That's sort of the whole idea of this connection online. So we're going to be talking to him more about it, and I think you have loads of questions for him. Have you ever used it before?
I have not used it, but that's why I'm excited about talking with him and getting more inside the trenches for how successful this must be, how much landfill that we're saving as a result of his activity. So this is going to be really, really neat. So let's take a break, everyone. Back in a minute with the founder of FreeCycle.org, Darren Beal. Back in a minute, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Hey, have you got that number for Jerry's Pizza?
Look it up on localpages.com.
Localpages.com. Well, what if I wanted a business number in Miami?
Localpages.com.
Can people find your business online? Be seen with localpages.com on every local listing in all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask. With over 6 billion quality searches a month and bids starting as low as 1 cent, get connected with local consumers at the exact moment that they're looking for you.
San Francisco, Green Bay, London.
I told you, localpages.com.
List your business on localpages.com. Now and get $100 in free local advertising. Localpages.com, bringing your neighborhood to you.
I told you.
Susan, you're still responsible for digital marketing programs, right?
Right.
So your team is responsible for email marketing, web analytics, PPC campaign optimization, and scheduling?
Your point?
Why are you so relaxed? My team deals with 5 different solutions, tech support teams, and just as many invoices, and it's making us mental. What is it? Aromatherapy? Acupuncture? Why are you so relaxed?
You just have to simplify your toolset and unify your team. Lyris provides totally integrated email marketing, web analytics, PPC campaign management, and calendaring functionality. It's all in one spot that provides a holistic view of all your team's efforts. And you get all of this functionality for $299 a month.
So with Lyris, one company can do it all. I feel like I can cancel that acupuncture appointment already.
To see how Lyris can simplify your life, visit Lyris.com or call 1-888-GO-LYRIS. Simplify, unify, and increase ROI with Lyris today.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Darren Beal. Darren, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your story on the founding of this company that, as it's noted, started with one single email. Maybe you can bring us back to that one single email and tell us what you mean by the founding of the company from one single email.
Well, FreeCycle.org, it's a sort of a Craigslist for free stuff. So all of our groups are local, and when members post items to give it away, someone else in the local community then is required to come pick it up. And so if they come pick it up, obviously they're getting it for free, so they do the work to pick it up from your house if you're the one giving the item away. So that's kind of the basic concept. And that's pretty much why I set it up in the first place, that I had this bed to give away, and Goodwill doesn't take beds, so I was kind of stuck with it. And none of my friends, you know, you call around, see if a friend could use a perfectly good bed, and no one needed it. So I thought, there's got to be an easier way to give this thing away than just to put it out for curbside, you know, for brush and bulky waste pickup from the city. Rather than throw it away, our idea is to make it easier to give something away than to throw it away. So I set up the first group here for Tucson, Arizona, and it snowballed really quickly, and people were giving stuff to each other left and right in Tucson. And so that's when I, after that first email, then I set up the website instructing others how they could get their community joined up to the FreeCycle network. And movement was born.
And tell me a little bit about how you monetize this creature and how you're able to sustain its growth with a tremendous member database, probably using the website quite a bit, I'm sure, to connect and facilitate transactions.
Well, that's a very interesting question and probably the most difficult one to answer because there's not a lot of monetization going on. We're based on, we're a 501c3 501c3 charitable nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Membership is free, and posting and receiving items is free, too. So there's not a lot of money there. The way we're able to make it work is because we have every single local gifting group is moderated by a volunteer, and we have over 10,000 volunteers in over 4,300 local communities. So those volunteers are really what's making it happen. So we have a couple people who help out with engineering, a lead volunteer, and myself. And the rest is power of the people.
And where does your traffic typically come from? And by the way, we need to solve that problem while we're on the phone. Aaron, we need to figure out a way to monetize what you're doing and see if there's some opportunity out there. I'm sure you rack your brain about it all day, every day, but this is such a great cause, and a world cause, I might add. It just would be fantastic to fund this and really get people, fueling the spirit of what you started here. So I'll try to throw some ideas at you if I have any, or maybe we can shake some ideas from the tree in our discussion today. So back to the questions. Have you, what has been the, give us an idea for how much transactions are happening, how many things are being picked up, how much stuff is being picked up in people's houses in the course of a day or a week or a year. Do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, anywhere between 20 and 40,000 items a day.
Wow.
In your average local group, you'll probably see about 100 items being posted each day. Huh. And that's over 600 tons a day. And if you were to stack all that stuff in garbage trucks, you'd be at about six times the height of Mount Everest just in the past year alone. So a whole bunch of stuff is being given away.
Huh. Hey, Byron.
Yeah.
FreeCycle is on Yahoo with a lot of local groups, and I'm reading here that they are the third most searched environmental keyword term on Yahoo following global warming and recycling.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? They're right at the top of all the search engines.
Yeah, so, it's really big. It's really grassroots. We don't have any marketing people or advertising or anything like that. It's all word of mouth. And we do get a lot of press from major press sources. We've been on CNN, New York Times, and a couple of these morning TV shows and whatnot. So it's kind of a neat thing, and people enjoy hearing and learning about it and signing up. But, it's very, very grassroots. So we try to survive on grants, underwriting, and public donations, basically.
Huh. What do the local volunteer moderators do?
Well, they keep all the spam out of local groups. They approve individual local members to make sure it's not a spammer trying to get in. If somebody doesn't understand the rules, they explain the rules to them. And in general, just keep things running smoothly in the local group. Or, for example, if someone were to try to post something that were not legal, locally, they'd remove the post and remove the member.
What do you consider not legal?
One of our key rules is keep it free, legal, and appropriate for all ages. So maybe that stack of Playboys is legal, but we would rather you not post it just because we like to be family friendly.
My mind is just spinning with both questions and ideas, but. What is your vision for the company? Where do you want it to go? Do you see it continuing on as it is? Do you want to make it better? What are your biggest challenges? Tell us what your vision is with where you want this to go.
Well, what we're doing right now is completing coding that enables people to post directly in their local group on FreeCycle.org instead of first having to find a Yahoo group to do so. So, for example, if you go to FreeCycle.org and you search for the Tucson group, T-U-C-S-O-N, you'll find that you can post directly on FreeCycle.org. And it's our hope to make it easier for members to join up and post and read posts that are being offered and whatnot by doing so and eliminating one of those steps. But also we wouldn't mind if it were to generate a little bit of income for us using a Google AdSense bar on the right-hand side of the local post results.
I see that now. How, and are you generating any revenue on that Tucson section?
It's very modest. Nowhere near what it used to be.
Right. But have you done some calculations to determine whether or not you might be able to, you know, generate some interesting revenue over there on a broad scale if you were to roll this out?
That's what we're thinking. We're thinking,
yep.
Because we're so grassroots and volunteer-driven mostly, it's our feeling that we don't have to generate a lot of income using the Google AdSense bar in order to be sustainable. You know, we don't have 20 staff members or something like that. We just have to pay for about 3 people pretty much to keep things going.
Such a great cause and a great philosophy you have, but with the bandwidth of members and users and the potential you have, I mean, gosh, this is just huge. You know, this really could be big. I'm sure you've had a lot of people that have told you that. All right, so let's go back to some questions, though, on managing these groups and this infrastructure. Do you have training sessions, or how do you acclimate people to your world?
Mm-hmm. We have about 10 different volunteer teams, leadership teams, mm-hmm. a new group of approvers, group outreach and assistance teams, interim moderation teams, so when a volunteer gets tired of moderating, we help find a new local moderator, and mentor moderator teams to help people who've been approved as a new group but need some extra training before they go it alone. And each one of these groups has popped up sort of organically. It's like the first team we set up was new group approvers. I couldn't handle it all myself, so I got a volunteer to help out. And then once we had the groups, we needed assistance, so we set up the group outreach and assistance team, and so forth. And eventually we had so many teams that we had each team leader join a global hub leadership team. So, and we meet weekly and discuss online any issues we might be having together. So it's very, I guess, very horizontal leadership structure, volunteer-driven. And that's kind of neat because these volunteers also, those who have more time, and you know, that cream rises to the top all by itself, and they are the leadership of the organization. So you know, in essence, we have a global organization with 10,000 staff members. They just are paid.
Right. Have you thought about keeping track of all of how much activity each of the individual leaders is affecting, you know, is sort of accumulating in savings from things that would normally be thrown away? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So Jill Smith has saved 7,000 cubic meters of waste space.
That would have been
thrown into, you know, the trash facility. Do you know what I'm saying? Is there anyone done any calculation there? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, per volunteer, I'm not sure that would yield us a lot of information that we could use. However, I do think that per group or per member, mm-hmm. it becomes interesting when you can start aggregating those numbers organizationally and then using that to seek additional grant funding from, you know, conservation-minded foundations who might like to, you know. We think recycling is great, but what's just now becoming clear is that reuse is much, much more important than recycling on the, you know, the three R's, reduce, mm-hmm. reuse, recycle. You know, if you can get someone to reuse something rather than having to reprocess it and recycle it, you're not only eliminating the weight that you're keeping out of 100-pound sofa, keeping that out of the landfill, but you're also eliminating 20 times that in raw materials that would have to go into making a new sofa, you know, mm-hmm. water, mm-hmm. diesel, cotton, all the stuff that comes together. So reuse is a really powerful tool, and with global warming and carbon footprint becoming a really important thing to be tracking and reducing, the importance of FreeCycle is increasing. And that's information that we can then provide to local municipalities. Mm-hmm. There are states, for example, in California, where there are penalties for not reducing their carbon footprint below certain levels, and mm-hmm. we can help provide proof that there's reduction of the, you know, waste elimination through reuse using FreeCycle locally, mm-hmm. things like that. And then it starts getting really interesting.
Have you, and Mandy, please, you know me, I'm just going to keep asking questions. I'm just so curious, Kat. But
you know what?
Have
I wanted to ask Aaron real quick. What are some of the most common items you've seen listed on FreeCycle, and what are some of the weirder items you've seen listed?
Hobby supplies are really quite common. So, you know, maybe someone's into quilting and they just need swatches of material for the quilt, or their maybe kids are collecting some obscure thing for their local school group, bottle caps, or you know, whatever the heck it is. You know, the obscure the better, really. And so you see a lot of just random things that you'd find in people's sheds. Like you think, well, if I knew someone who could use that broken thingamajig, I'd give it away. Well, this is your chance. Mm-hmm. Particularly good in giving away your spouse's old pieces of junk. But see, what else do you see a lot? You see a lot of electronics. For example, let's say you don't need the newest computer or the newest phone, or you don't need a digital camera. You just need an analog, regular old 35 millimeter. You know, all these kind of things that people might have wanted 3 or 4 years ago. If you don't care, you can definitely find something like that on Freecycle. Or furniture, if you don't mind having an older sofa, or landscaping supplies, or plants, things like that. And generally, as a general, things that are heavy. One of the things I didn't expect to pop up in Freecycle that you see a lot of are cardboard boxes. You know, whether people are into eBay and they need to be mailing things around, or whether you're just moving and you don't want to spend $5 a box to be able to move. Those are the kind of things that you can keep in circulation quite nicely through Freecycle. And it's a cycle of giving. It's a free cycle of giving. That's sort of where it comes from.
You know, the thing, every time I move, it kills me to have to go and buy cardboard boxes, because how many boxes, you know, do you see and use in the course of a day, and you never remember to save those boxes for when you need to move? That's actually really useful.
Yeah, or you go hang out behind supermarkets and feel a little bit embarrassed.
A little shady.
Have transactions increased in the recession that we're in now?
We've seen a big growth. Well, first of all, post-Christmas we see a jump anyway. You know, all those Santa ties and ill-fitting sweaters that people have received?
Uh-huh.
They pop up in Freecycle. And so you've got the triple whammy going on. You've got post-Christmas, you've got the the economy tanking, and then you've got the environmental aspect of people looking increasingly to do the right thing for the environment, to keep good stuff out of landfills.
When are you at all thinking that the data that you will eventually have on your own website, once everything gets categorized and placed within your website, do you have an appreciation for that data itself on what people are giving away? Is that part of your business plan to help perhaps fund some of what you're doing?
As far as that data being interesting for others?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think it would be great if I were a member giving away items. I'd love to see how much I'm reducing my own carbon footprint by giving stuff away. I think that'd just be a lot of fun. And on the other hand, I think it's very valuable information. We're seeing this with local municipalities who have to track, waste diversion rates. And in the UK right now, the local councils are very interested in working with us. And I'm sure there'd be a way to partner with them and enable them direct access to that data and those statistics in the local groups for their area in exchange for some sort of grant funding or support.
And just thoughts on that front. So knowing what products people get and then want to give away is also kind of interesting data. Whether they give it away, for example, the reason that they're giving something away also becomes quite interesting. I'm giving this bed away because I no longer like it, or I am unhappy with it, or, what is the cause for giving it away? Also, what exactly are you giving away? So that becomes interesting information for manufacturers that, let's say Beautyrest has the lowest amount of people ever giving their mattresses away on your website. That would be a great information for Beautyrest to know. I just think that the data that you're going to have with all of these transactions happening is really extremely valuable and is an incredible asset.
One of the most important areas where I think that's applicable is in a more general way of looking at it. If we can basically show that 27% of everything that's being given away is computer electronics. We've already had a study done, so we know that. So that, of course, is very important information if you're, say, Hewlett Packard or Panasonic, and you'd like to be able to give back to your consumers by supporting a nonprofit as an underwriter, like FreeCycle, who's enabling reuse even before recycling. And I think in the coming 10 years, that's going to be a trend that we'll be seeing increase in importance as people realize how much more important reuse is than even recycling, and that companies who could support the FreeCycle network will begin valuing that as well. For example, Waste Management is one of our key underwriters, and Waste Management is the largest recycling entity in North America. So that's kind of their way of giving back to their consumers by saying, well, we're going to support this cause that reduces the amount that we even need to recycle in the first place.
Have you, I noticed that Waste Management was one of your sponsors on your site. Have you talked with them at all or thought about the opportunity to, you know, have pick up opportunity and drop up opportunity? There's another national company that I was thinking of. You know those trucks you see parked over the all over the place, you know, 1-800-JUNK, you know, and they and they brilliantly park like in a very high traffic zone, like that's part of their franchise opportunity, I'm sure. When they when they instruct these local people that buy into the franchise and buy their truck and all the training material, I'm sure that's right in their training material. Go just leave your car illegally parked, you know, in a high in a high traffic zone to promote your local service of picking up trash, right?
Yeah.
And dump. But have you looked at partnership opportunities like that that would actually facilitate the pickup and the drop off of these assets?
Oh yeah, yeah. And in fact, we've already done some events. With Waste Management, they also have landfills all over Waste Management. And so we've had events where you can, instead of dumping your stuff in the landfill, you pull up to the scales. Instead of going over the scales, you pull off to the side, and they have a gift corral where if it's still a usable item, you know, an old lamp or you know, who knows what, you can put it there. And so it's like give a penny, take a penny. And then if you see something you need, you can take it with you. And so you as the consumer save money because you didn't have to pay to throw it in the landfill, and they save on landfill space, and they're able to kind of give back to the community in that way. And so, so basically, we've started having parties at the landfill where it becomes like a big free yard sale. Everyone brings their stuff in, and local radio station shows up, and music, and everyone gives each other stuff. It's called a free meet.
Really cool. How about this concept of betterment of life? You know, on the Life Tips show, we're always seeking for ways to make your life smarter, better, faster, wiser, if you've listened to any of our shows. And one thing that becomes interesting is I received a gift, you know, I received a thing, an asset, you know, from FreeCycle as a result of helping this effort. And let's say it was a drum set. And then let's say that I went on to, you know, win the national drum competition because of the drum set that I got through FreeCycle. Do you have any stories like that, or have you ever thought about tracking how your life has gotten better as a result of getting something through FreeCycle?
Oh, I love that community aspect of it. And in fact, when we first set up FreeCycle, we really didn't anticipate the kind of community feeling that would come out of it. It's really, you know, like when Hurricane Katrina came through, at the relocation cities like you know, Houston or Tucson or others, Red Cross used FreeCycle to get people signed up locally. So they could, the people could ask for exactly what they needed for their new apartments and whatnot, getting reset. And we had, there's all kinds of great stories. We had one woman who set up a nonprofit using FreeCycle to collect children's supplies to supply, completely supply an orphanage in Haiti. And then she got FedEx to pay for a container load to be shipped over there. Or there's this Native American nonprofit that collects old wedding dresses and prom dresses to give back to teens in need that are within the tribe. So all kinds of random and wonderful success stories. We had generally it's items that we're keeping out of landfills, but we had one local kid here in Tucson set up a home for guinea pigs where he said if you have a guinea pig you no longer are able to love, and he would collect the guinea pigs and then re-give them out to others who would use them or give them a new home.
That's really cute.
So just kind of putting a tool out there and saying, hey, you know, here's a way you can easily find someone to give something to, or you can easily ask for something, and then you know, people will pick it up and run with it all by themselves. It's really fun to see.
You know, Byron, you know what's really booming these days is clothing swaps. You know, I have a lot of friends who will get together at someone's house or organize an event where, you know, everyone brings, like, their nice clothes that they just haven't worn in a couple seasons, and you just kind of swap out. I mean, it's a great idea. You know, there's always donating to a good cause, but if you have friends who have similar style, I mean, you know, it's certainly becoming bigger in this area, I know.
One thing we have in FreeCycle is, like, a mom will post in a local group, everyone who has kids in the age of 2 to 4 or 2 to 6 or something like that are meeting at this cafe at this time, and they all show up and open up their trunks, just give each other stuff, and then have a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So that same kind of concept. Yeah, so it's kind of fun.
Nice. It's an increasing community.
Here's some ideas for you. So, and by the way, what I want to learn from you is how can we help you, and how can other people listening help you? What are your needs? But before you answer that, because I want a really long answer from you on that, like a really long checklist of things that will just arrive at like your doorstep, perhaps, or through your email inbox. But one thing that I wanted to ask you about was, so in the new design world that you have, it looks like you're redesigning your site and you're working on a technical back-end infrastructure, which sounds really neat. One of the ways that I think it would make it really simple and easy and fun, you know, is to have this sort of like, you know, find stuff, and you just punch in a keyword of something you want to find and then a zip code of where you live, and then presto, it shows you anything that it's finding in its database that might be related to what you're doing. Is that where you're trying to go with your main site?
Not directly, because that doesn't really work very well. Because if you enter in sofa in Tucson, the chances of you getting a sofa by doing that are really slim, because basically items go so quickly. You've got about a 24-hour window to get an, you know, so if I post a sofa, in 24 hours I'll have a list of 20 people who'd love to have that sofa.
Really?
Five of them might even be local nonprofits. So stuff goes, even if it's an old ratty sofa, it goes fast. So the chances of what you entering in being the exact item that's available in the exact community are pretty small. And we don't want to encourage people to start looking for sofas all over southeastern Arizona, because we want it to be local to their community. So really, it's about the main FreeCycle.org website page is about getting people to their local group. And then they can read the last 20 posts where there's stuff still available. So,
If the model took off in a perfect world and it were easier to find stuff and easier to give stuff away, wouldn't that fuel a more simple model like the one I described, which is find stuff or give stuff, you know? And let's just say on the give stuff to solve that problem, you put in sofa and you put in your zip code, and all of a sudden you could connect with people that are looking for a sofa in your area. So the bad news would be you put in sofa, you put in your zip code, and it says there are no sofas available right this minute, but if you want, we'll kick you an email as soon as one becomes available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you put in your email address. Then when it says give stuff, I put in sofa and I put in my zip code, and it shows you the people that are queued up waiting for sofas to be given away.
Mm-hmm.
There's 100 people on the list that are waiting for sofas in your zip code that will come drive by. And you can even click on one of them and see who they are. Heck, you could even choose who you give your sofa away to.
And related to that, there's all kinds of opportunities to have. Like, I could reel off 50 different things that occur on a regular basis that people need to be able to find where to take it or where to get it from. Like, some local nonprofits accept computers.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you take your paint for recycling, or where can you get paint, you know, brown, white, or black paint locally?
See, this is my point, is that I can understand your response to my previous question on, hey, there's limited inventory, we don't want to piss people off, but I think that if you become a facilitator of transactions even before the transaction becomes available, that gets very interesting.
Uh-huh. Good point.
And that gets much more scalable and much easier. you probably would increase your number of members of people that are queued up that would want something, you know. You know, find stuff, I put in what I want, I put in my zip code, and it doesn't have anything at that moment, but it does put me on a list. It allows me to get on the list if something comes up to send me an alert.
So that's another point that, I mean, we're just now going down the road of getting stuff directly on site, and just having the possibility of having an alert is something that certainly would be great, but we don't have the capability yet.
I mean, well, now, which brings us to our next question. Which brings us to our next
question. Limits how much we can get done in the time we have.
Well, you're on an interesting radio show here because we're of course, you're on the webmasterradio.fm. You're now speaking with dozens and dozens and possibly hundreds or thousands of programmers, developers, coders, website designers. If there are people out there that are listening right now that have the skill sets to help build some an interesting code platform, would you be interested in chatting with any of those people that could volunteer some code development to help?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have a couple. We have one paid engineer, but we have probably four others who volunteer to do different sections of the website from the fact section to database upkeep to core website needs to data entry. You know, this all we certainly have the needs. The problem is generally that basically they would need to be able to bite off one chunk and really do it without a lot of handholding.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, typically, you know, we might get someone who's a student who wants to design the whole thing themselves. Well,
mm-hmm.
we've already got the whole thing designed. We just need this little piece here done or that piece done.
Yeah.
So, it's PHP MySQL based on Debian. So anyone who has kind of skills in that area and
yeah.
would mind investing a bit of time, we'd love it.
In your world, though, in your vision, can you begin to imagine, you know, the ability to set up an extremely robust database that would facilitate this quick